Let's go to 1 John 2, because Pete reminded me. I can't remember why I wanted to go to 1 John 2 now. What did we study just before that?
You said there's no private interpretation of Scripture, and we're probably trying to justify rebellion. And most of the discussion was about the what we talked about, the symbols inside the Ark of the Covenant represent rebellion. And talked about, well, that's sort of what we were ending with.
Okay, I don't remember. So let's not go there.
All right.
Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. No. Yes, this is chapter 1. We're still, I thought we were going to stop, but yesterday we did it. We're going to do it again today. We're still looking at the difference between Christ in you and you in Christ. So let's, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens, in Christ. So in Christ, there was where all the spiritual blessings are located. Which is a kind of important. So then let's go down to chapter 2. No, let's go to 1. That's in chapter 1. Verse 17, we studied this, but that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So it's always about him, not us, which he wrought in Christ. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. We could talk forever, but we've already talked about that. And let's go to the prayer, the other prayer in chapter 3, starting in verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father. Chapter 3, verse 14 of Ephesians. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, or in Christ, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then if you might be filled with all the fullness of God is the in Christ position. And in that position, he's able, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. In Christ. We found out that it was that phrase, in Christ, as opposed to Christ in you, was used some 200 times in the New Testament. It positionally is well, and the question is then, how do you get in Christ? Anybody have an answer?
Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You hear, you see, you're transformed. Old man is left behind.
Your question was, how do we get in Christ? Well, it's pretty simple, I think. I think it's profound repentance.
That's it, repentance.
Not half, you know what, but absolute, zealous repentance.
You can't be in him as long as you're still giving breath to things in the world. Because then you're like a yo-yo. Sometimes you're in him, most of the time you're not. But he wants us to be in him as the permanent position. All right, let's go to...
Well, like you always said, it really is a very profound repentance. It's not the repentance that I'm sorry or I got caught or I don't want to do that again. It's
repentance of...
Repentance.
Which is your death.
Yeah.
So how does that come about? You said around, I think I'm going to repent so I can be...
It comes by the preaching of the cross and only by the preaching of the cross. Preaching the cross isn't about Christ on the cross. The preaching on the cross is about you on the cross and your death. So if there's anything that is you alive, the way that's defined in the scriptures is you are alive if you give breath to anything in time and space. You've allowed somehow the evil one to resurrect himself from the deadly head wound. There's only Christ and the Antichrist. They're not in the picture.
So when the cross is preached and you hear something, you're quickened by that message and you agree with it. I guess it's about the best you can do.
And then you repent. If you are doing anything else.
Yeah, this is that pristine point for me is,
You repent when you see by the preaching of the cross that there's something in your life that doesn't line up with the preaching of the cross. And if it's not true, in other words, if you haven't seen your death in that arena, then you'll repent over and over again until finally you see the emptiness of that position.
Well, if you say that Christ and you and Christ is an exchange, did I hear that? And isn't that the ultimate, I would say, isn't that the ultimate fulfillment of the mystery?
Well, except that you got to remember the evil one is always there trying to resurrect himself from the deadly head wound. And that's what comes against the in Christ position. That's why you continue with him in his temptation. his temptation was never to pay attention, no matter what the circumstances, to what was going on in his mind. That's why he said, without me, I mean, I can do nothing of myself. In each case, when he did think about it for a second, he ignored it and repented, except on the cross. He said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? And he didn't get an answer. The answer to that question was his resurrection. And that's the final answer in you, that you see not only the resurrection in you, but you see that you are in Christ. And it's a big difference between Christ in you and you in Christ. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You in Christ is the fulfillment of the hope. Is that clear?
So the fulfillment of the hope is us in Christ.
The hope is Christ in you.
In you. And the fulfillment of the hope is us in Christ.
Right.
And I would pray that whenever that happens, or if it happens, or it does happen, then it disappears and it comes back, that there is fruit in my life. I would have the...
Well, there's no question. There's no question. It's the fruit is not your business any longer. There's when Christ was baptized, this incredible statement was made by John the Baptist. He said, "Now the axe is laid to all the trees." So that means that essentially the human race died on the cross. But the prefiguration of that death on the cross was his baptism.
So he's speaking metaphorically as trees, as being
humans.
The human race.
Right.
Yeah, chopping down a bunch of awful boat archers.
It just acts as late to the root. And that root had to be, it's a source of life. So it has to be the Antichrist, I assume, the source of his life, which is...
Well, it's not just his life, it's your life, too, because all the human race died on the cross. Now, Satan was dead on the cross, too.
Yeah.
But the point of it is, his minions didn't die on the cross. They did, but they continue. That's what the human race does in their continual attempts at self-seeking, self-realization.
Minions didn't die on the cross?
Pardon?
You say minions did not die on the cross?
The minions of Satan.
Minions, and those were the servants of Satan? Is that what a minion is?
No. The minion is a crowd or a group.
Oh.
But it's... But not minion like we say at 10, a minion in Hebrew. Minion in English is everybody. But again, he had to have the antagonism in us. That's why we are transfigured by the renewing of our mind. But the renewing of your mind... Well, let's look at that. Let's go to Romans 12 real quick. And the reason we're spending so much time on this is it's so important.
Yeah, this is the rock of your faith.
Verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now that's a contradiction in terms. You presented your body a living sacrifice, but a sacrifice is death. It's living sacrifice because Christ then is released in you. When you say, Father, I'm yours without condition, that's analogous to the temple being raised in the wilderness. Then it's possible to do all the other things. But the temple had to be reared before the holy, before God could fill it and the humans couldn't go in. Moses couldn't even go in. And so, but that filling of the temple is not anything you possess, it's something that possesses you. But it's possessed by you only by repentance from everything else. Now that's why this, what we're going to read, is so important.
Where are you, Jeff?
Romans 12, starting verse 1. I beseech you, I beg of you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, by presenting your body the living sacrifice, you're acknowledging your death in his life. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's really what it says. It's the highest that reason can take you, that you present your body a living sacrifice. And be not conformed in any way to this world or the spirit of any age, the spirit of now or any age in the future or any age in the past. And it includes the death of all your value systems. What you think is right and good behavior, what you think is the way you should act or walk or anything. And it's all, it's your past is crucified. But the evil one is constantly trying to get you to see that, to not see that. But here's why. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, transfigured, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or put to the test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The good and acceptable, perfect will of God is Christ in you. So you are putting to the test the same way that Christ was tested by Satan. You're putting to the test to see if anything can draw you away. That's why your mind has to be renewed to the mind of Christ. And so everything from, you know, that's why time exists, so this can happen. The renewing of your mind. And renewing is an interesting word. It's anakinesis. No, it's not. It's anastasis. That's what it is. But it means a gradual conforming to that which was, is, and will be. So you're being conformed to the mind of Christ, which was. The mind of Christ is in you, but you don't know it. And so, and it will be because God is confident of your repentance. Or his hopes for your repentance.
Well, I've said this before, I think. Renewing, from what I've heard, is renewing is reburying it. It's putting it to death again.
Well, it's the evil one coming against everything, every form of abandonment of self, to try to keep you alive in some way, in the slightest way.
Because I'm not renewing anything.
Well, you're being, again, this is the will of God, that you would test that seed that's in you, which is Christ, in the same way that he was tested and tempted by Satan.
The renewal is not an improvement process. It's a rededication to your death.
That's right. That you may prove, put to the test, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, which is Jesus Christ in you. But he has to be tested in you in the same way he was tested in the world by Satan. But now Satan's defeated, so what he's tested by is your mind, which is the evil one. that you end up being fully tested, then you're in that position where you have the mind of Christ, which is, like we've talked about so many times, total emptiness, the emptiness to the point of a vacuum. So you only do nothing of yourself or from yourself.
Well, really, it's as if I don't have the mind of Christ or a mind like Christ. I don't exist. It's his mind in me.
The evil one.
I'm saying what the true repentance, I'm not creating in me but a mind of Christ or a mind like Christ. I'm dead. It's his mind in me.
Yeah, but creative repentance. Stop a minute. Repentance, you know, it's not a single act. It's a constant. Every time your life or thoughts don't conform to what the scriptures say it is, then you repent.
I'm only.
Let's go. I remembered why we were going to study 1 John. Go to 1 John chapter 2, or chapter 4, I mean.
1 John chapter 4.
This is, you probably remember what it is when I tell you that it's the most arrogant statement in the Bible by believers. Start in verse 4 of chapter 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you've overcome them, which is the Antichrist in verse 3. Which again, that's why the Lord's Prayer is, let nothing lead you inward. Let nothing cause your mind, you to give breath to going, by going inward to your mind. That's what the Lord's Prayer says. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And let us forgive as we forgive others. Let us be forgiven as we forgive others. And then it says this incredible thing about, I hate it when I forget stuff. Matthew 6, if you want to look it up. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts or trespasses as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but to the contrary, deliver us from the evil one. And the evil one, if you don't think the evil one is your mind, then this is meaningless. Amen. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, back to 1 John chapter 2. Chapter 4, I mean. Oh, let's start over in verse, so we get verse 3 in it. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it was should come, and even now already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Them who? The Antichrist. In you. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That's the most, that's a mind-bending thing to say. He that is of God heareth us. He that isn't won't. Anyway, the bottom line of this is this: it's that being in the in Christ position. It's in, and then you are not getting something. You are being possessed by something because you're gone. So it being possessed by Jesus Christ in you is the you and Christ position, where there is no more giving and not paying attention ever again to the evil one, which is your mind. And if you don't believe it, the evil one's your mind, then we've got a long way to go. Let's go to one more place before we quit. Go to John 14. I'm repeating this stuff because it's so important. In verse 20, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. Now, what day is that? At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you.
Resurrection.
No, you don't know the less at the resurrection.
In you.
Hmm?
When it's resurrected in you.
He's all resurrected in all men.
It's probably at this moment if we accept our death.
Yeah, but it's when you finally see that there's repentance for every place where you're not in Him, then you know. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. That way, the channel is clear between you and the Father. You are simply a vessel for this mystery of Jesus Christ.
It's all finished. It's all been done. It is in the present. And it really revolves around us ultimately repenting.
It's the bride.
It's what it's... this mystery that is in the immediate present. It is ours to have. Why they aren't going to choose. If we truly repent.
Again, the repentance,
I guess.
The beginning of repentance is to say, I'm sorry. That's about the best repentance can be. Yeah. And it goes all the way up to finally repentance. You've seen that you are dead and buried, never again to rise from the dead. Christ alone has risen from the dead. He alone has immortality. Only he which came from the Father can return to the Father. On and on and on. And each one of us are this. This is why this... You heard me talk about we've talked for years about the Megillah. The Book of Esther, the Book of Ruth, Book of Esther, Song of Solomon, Ruth, Lamentations,
and Ecclesiastes.
And that, those Megillah, and a lot of the ancient commentators, the Jewish rabbis, the ones that they have, all the ones that I respect, say this. They say that the Megillah shows us the heart of God, but Song of Solomon shows us the purpose of God, the purpose, or God's purpose, which is the marriage of the Lamb. And the best we can be ourselves in that body. Again, we, John and I, have been talking about genetics, but it's, there's nothing about the DNA of the human race that can enter into the kingdom of God. Only the DNA of Jesus Christ. And that's why the Song of Solomon says over and over again, my sister, my spouse, my sister, my spouse. Because the bride has exactly the same DNA as Jesus Christ. But that's not revealed without your death. Amen.
Amen.
You're musing, Gary.
Yeah, I've become aware of something this morning of how, you know, we talk a lot of scriptures and doctrine and concepts. Satisfied and settled, and yet my mind doesn't want to die. It's like that's the last thing it wants to do is die. But I can see that I get to these points, and I can thankfully say this is no longer my business.
Amen.
And I give as great of understanding as my mind can achieve. I'm fully aware that's not it, and I'm thankful to be able to say what I'm saying right
now. Amen.
And give it to God.
That's why that one part of scripture in Romans 12 is so critical, that presenting yourself as the living sacrifice is the highest that your mind can take you.
And I would say you need to go there. Because if you don't, you won't ever be convinced that you can't get there.
Right. You'll stay as a, and spiritually you'll stay as a child.
Right.
You're still forgiven. And still some mystery is part of the body, but that's God wants you. He wants you. Again, I think that the reason, you've heard me say this before, but one of the big, big reasons that I believed at when I saw it, my conversion, that it was done, I mean, that it was all about this mystery of the bride, I'm thankful that I went through that position of saying, wait a minute, I don't like this. This is crap. And I did all those years of study. Because now I know that there is nothing of me, of my mind, that has any worth at all except paying attention to this Holy Spirit, that I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to do that. Never knowing what you want to do, you just know what you don't want to do. And finally, once you find out what you don't want to do, you don't want to be part of this world. You don't. There's nothing in it that has any merit.
Yeah, you see that's true what they say.
And so the whole, that going through all those scriptures to see that Christ was in every one of them, it just blew me away, where I couldn't argue anymore with God. and it was settled.
I was looking at some words, take heed, beware, in the scriptures this morning, and I saw one meaning was fully consider, look at, like take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And I think that's what Gary was saying, fully consider it, take a good long look at it and see what it really is.
Right.
Yeah.
But we all have to do it.
Yeah.
And because no matter how much we hear the words, if our heart or mind, whatever, if our being still thinks that there's value, then you have to remember that it is that incredible book that many times it wanted to be discarded from the Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanity, vanity of vanity, all is vain. All, and it doesn't mean all like to look at themselves in the mirror. It means it's empty, it's worthless, it's a puff of smoke. And that's the highest their mind can get to, is that everything is worthless.
You know, this is a silly kind of a parable, but this phrase, blow my mind, it's like our minds are like big balloons or big condoms or something.
Yeah, we just popped.
And you blow them up and you blow them up and pretty soon
with 11, yeah.
They're real big and all of a sudden, poof, they blow. Yeah, 11.
Well, again, that's why, again, I can't, what I just didn't finish what I was saying about that going through it, what I saw in my conversion was that I saw that the end was come before before I was going to be alive when the end came, and that blew my mind. But it's getting pretty. You better hurry up. I'm getting kind of old. But I anticipated every day. I mean, I can honestly say that. And if there's anything that comes to my mind that you can toss it if at the end is this afternoon. There's nothing to do.
Yeah.
So you always have to see that your next breath may be your last. And you get rid of all carefulness, all prudence, all of these value systems that we do to try to protect ourselves from something. Mm-hmm. Boom, it's gone. All right. Anything else? Take it, big guy.